Okay, Rabbi Sai. Today's daf is daf Tzadikei. We're holding 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins, "My oid hayoim benoiv la'amoid." Why does the Gemara bring this pasuk at this time? Because this pasuk follows the psukim that we had before on the bottom of the Amud Beis, which spoke about how Sancheiriv went through Eser Masois, Nosa Oisei Rosha Ba'oisei Hayoim. We had that yesterday, if you remember. We listed 10 different places. Originally, Mar said there were 12 places. We reduced it by 3. We added 1. It was all very, very fascinating. So that pasuk was in Yeshaya Yud, Chof Ches through Lamed Beis. And now we continue on Lamed Beis. Oida Yoyim Benoiv Lamoid. In Noifef Yodai Harbas Tzion Givas Yerushalayim. What is all of this about? What the Gemara is telling us now is about the terrible sin of Shaul HaMelech and Doeg HaDoimi regarding Noiv Ir HaKohanim. Just to remind ourselves and refresh our memories, we know that Shaul HaMelech wanted to kill David HaMelech. David HaMelech therefore had to flee. He had to make a plata, exactly. And he came to Noiv Ir HaKohanim together with his people. And David HaMelech and his people were starving. They had nothing to eat. So they went to Achimelech, who was the Kohen Gadol at that time, and they told him Nebuch about what's going on, and Achimelech supplied them with food. Doeg HaDoimi heard about this, and Doeg HaDoimi went and gave Lashon Hara to Shaul HaMelech, and he said, "You hear what Achimelech and those Kohanim did in Noiv? What bad guys! They went and supported the insurrection, your enemy, David HaMelech, and therefore we should go and punish them." How did he punish them? Unfortunately, Shaul killed out the Kohanim in Noiv Ir HaKohanim. Okay, the Gemara is going to tell us subsequently that even David HaMelech shared a little bit in this sin, even though, of course, he was an innocent bystander. He just asked for food. However, indirectly, the whole reason why Noiv Ir HaKohanim was destroyed by Shaul, because of Doeg HaDoimi's Lashon Hara, is because David HaMelech ate there by Achimelech. Had David HaMelech not been in Noiv, none of this would have occurred. So of course, even though David HaMelech really wasn't his fault, but nevertheless he was an indirect cause of the eventual decimation of the Kohanim in Noiv Ir HaKohanim. And this was considered to be not only a blemish, a blot, a stain on Shaul and on Doeg, and to a lesser extent on David, but even on Klal Yisrael, that something like that could have happened, unfortunately, by the king of Klal Yisrael. And because of that, our Gemara tells us that really, even though we're talking about generations later, nevertheless, there was still that stain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, had given a statute of limitations, how long could Klal Yisrael be punished for this. And the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Huna, Oisei Hayoim, that day, that Sancheiriv was destined to come in siege around Yerushalayim, that day was Nishtayir Me'avoyne Shel Noiv. That was the final day of the so-called statute of limitations, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that day, Klal Yisrael is still punishable. The next day, already that Avoyne is already wiped out, after the statute is passed, that the whole blemish and stain now gets written off, so to speak, and you can no longer have tainus, you can no longer punish for that ovid. So therefore, that's why the Gemara says, that's why the pasuk says, oid hayoyim benoiv ovid. You still got one day benoiv to go and conquer Yerushalayim and defeat the Jewish people because of the sin of noiv. Amri le kaldoi, so the star seers, went and told Sancheiriv, if you get there today to Yerushalayim and you fight today, you'll be successful. V'iloi, but if not, if you're only going to come tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now, the Obey Noiv will be history and you'll no longer be able to go and conquer Yerushalayim based on that. You won't have the legal advantage of that punishable chait. Says Gemara. As a result, a normal trip would have taken him 10 days to get there. Sagi b'chadjaima, he said to his horses and to all his king's men, let's go schnell! And they went taka so quickly that what normally would have taken 10 days were able to do in one day. And now we have a better perspective of why the Gemara said yesterday that he went through 10 masois, nosa. Normally, if a person goes from here to California, even if he's going by bus or by train, certainly by plane, you wouldn't say, oh, you know, when he went to California, by the way, he passed through Chicago, and he passed through Milwaukee, and he passed through Minnesota twice. I don't even know exactly what all the cities would be en route, but you wouldn't know. He went straight from here to California. He went from wherever he was to Yerushalayim. So why do you even have to mention? You could sit over here, Rabbi Asher.
Make
you make a sense. You have your exit strategy whenever you have to leave. Anyway, but the point of the Gemara is that that's why we listed all the 10 places, because normally it would have been 10 days to get through all of those 10 places, and he was able to get through all the 10 places all in one day. Good. So now, Kimot Yerushalayim, now he's here in Yerushalayim. He's now on the outskirts, outside of Yerushalayim. He wanted to see how formidable Yerushalayim is in terms of conquering. So Shadi laid this down. He took a whole bunch of rugs, and he laid them one on top of the other, on top of the other, until it became a fairly substantial mound. The Solik V'Yosef, he was able to now climb up this mound of rugs. V'Yosef me'ilu shura, and now he was sitting already atop, higher than the shur, shur meaning the wall, like you have in the Pasuk, b'nai tzoda ali shur, the wall of Yerushalayim, and at the chaziyah of the Yerushalayim, and from where he was standing and from where he was sitting, he was able to have a beautiful view of the entire Yerushalayim. Kichazi, when he saw Yerushalayim, izute be'enei, it looked very small in his eyes. Omar haloida, he harded Yerushalayim, the Allah argishes kol mishar yusi, is this the ganze stadt, the whole big city of Yerushalayim, that for which I had to go and collect and assemble this huge cavalry and this huge military. The Allah kavshes kol bedintza, and as a result, to get to Yerushalayim, I had to capture and conquer so many states and cities until I got here. Ali hizir, it's so small. V'cholsh, it's so weak. Mikol krachei amamaya, from all of the big cities of all the amamim, the kavshes b'tkoyf yadi, that I was able to conquer until now with my strength and my military might. And therefore, he started mocking the whole Yerushalayim. Ola vikom, he went and stood up, umeidid bereshe, and he made gestures with his head, going back and forth, as if to say, "There, Yerushalayim, big deal." Moivul amaisi biyadei, and then he started waving with his hand gestures. Al tur beit mikdash on the harabayis, divitziyon, the al ezrot of Yerushalayim, and on the azorois of the harabayis of the Beis HaMikdash, and he said, "That big deal, in 5 minutes I can take care of the whole Yerushalayim. I don't know what this big prize is, Yerushalayim. So Gornish." Amri, the soldier that were there, said now to Sancheiriv, "Nishdi beyado inna." Now we're here already. Baruch Hashem, we got here. You heard what the Kaldoi said. Today is the big day. Let's go and finish them off today. Amalahu. So now he, Sancheiriv, said to his soldiers, "Tamhisu." What means tamhisu? Rashi has two pshatim. Pshat number one says Rashi, "Tamhisu b'loshin atmiya." He was amazed at the fact that his ganze military, who had been traveling so quickly, they had to go 10 cities in one day. Normally it would have taken 10 days. They went quick, shnell. Presumably they ate very little, they drank very little, they're presumably very, very tired. The susim, the chamoyrim, and the prodim, everything was very, very tired. And nevertheless, they still had the stamina to go and fight that day. So he was tamah, he was amazed, he couldn't believe it. That's shot number one. Shot number two says Rashi, Tamisa means that aren't you all weary? You're all so tired, Chevra. Today is not a good day to start the military campaign against Yerushalayim. Lamachar, we're going to start tomorrow. And in the meantime, I see li kol chad v'chad minaychu golmoy harag minei. I want each one of you to go over to the wall of Yerushalayim, try to find a stone that is somewhat shaky, extract it from the wall, bring it to me, and already half of the wall I'll have because of the huge amount of the military men. We'll see Mitch from the Gemara shortly how many people were there. If each one will bring just one stone, the wall will come tumbling down just by the removal of the stones. So let's postpone it to tomorrow. Tonight we're going to get a good rest, and tomorrow morning, right after the davening, right after the daf, we're going to start our military campaign against Yerushalayim. So to Gemara, however little did he know, miyad, what had happened, or maybe it's kol miharag minei biyad. Anyway, what happened? Viva laila hu, that night when they all went to sleep. Vayetzi malach Hashem vayach v'machne Ashur meya ushmoinim v'chamisha elef. The malach came and he smote and he killed 185,000. And the Gemara said yesterday the 185,000 weren't just hit, but they were burned. Either the gufim were burned or the neshamas were burned, but the begodim remained intact, like we had in yesterday's Gemara. Vayashkim aboyker, and then they got up in the morning. V'nekulam pigarim esim. Of course, who got up in the morning if they're all dead? So Gemara is going to say on the Omid days, there'll be a machloikis, how many remain for Neganza Machna? One will say 10 people remain for Neganza Machna. One says 9, one says 5. Mitchell, we'll see on the Amid Bay shortly. Don't be nervous, we'll get to it. And as we'll also see in Mi'at Hashem, it's far more than the 185,000. We're talking about millions and perhaps even into billions. But let's wait until we get to the Amid Bay. Let's not jump to conclusions now. But a tremendous miracle, and therefore, as a result, of course, Sancheiriv's diabolical plans all fizzled out, and he was not able to go against Yerushalayim after all. Amar Papa said, "Papa said, 'Hainde Amri Inchi.' That's why there is an expression that people use: 'Bostina, Botel Dina.' This is an expression that we even use in English. Bostin, the word 'bus' over here means to sleep, and therefore it means din. If judgment is delayed, then judgment is denied." Judgment delayed is judgment denied. Meaning that since he postpones his military campaign just for one day, the whole campaign fizzled out and there was nothing left. By bus, by sleeping on your rights in Dina, in fighting your battles, Batal Dina, the whole din got cancelled and it got fizzled out. That was the end of it. Okay, we're going to return at great. We're going to talk much more about Sancheiriv on the Amid Beis. But since we started talking about Noiv, and since we started talking about the fact that Noivir Kahanim was killed as a result of Shaul Doig, and to a smaller extent by David HaMelech, Kadosh Baruch Hu had a taina on David HaMelech. So now, we have someone called Yishbi Benoiv. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, his name was not really Yishbi Benoiv, the name was Yishbi. However, he was sent out to go and be no game against David HaMelech because of what happened in Noiv Erekahan. So that's how he got this name, Yishbi Benoiv. We'll also see in the Gemara that he was a very, very strong, powerful individual. And therefore, David HaMelech and Avishai are going to be very noivous about Yishbi. So let's see the story. The Yishbi Benoiv, Asher Bilidei Harofa. He was one of the children of Harofa, and Rashi points out that Harofa is the same as Orpa. Orpa is famous from the Rus Orpa and the Omi story, that Orpa was a Shvegerin, she was a sister-in-law of Rus. Okay, we're going to talk about Orpa also shortly in the month. This Yishbi, he had a long spear. Now, as we learned already earlier, typically the spears were made out of wood, that is the long wooden handle, and at the very end they had a metal piece that of course was used, chas v'shalom, for stabbing the enemy. Anyway, u'mishkol kinoi. Kinoi is that spearhead at the end. The mishkol, the weight was shloish meois mishkol nechoishes. Boy, that's very heavy. 300 weight in nechoishes in copper, but he would carry it around like we carry around toothpicks probably. Vu choger chadoshen, he was girded with new clothing, I guess. No armor, perhaps. The Yom Lahakli says, David, and he said, I'm going to go and kill David HaMelech. My, the Yishbi Noiv, how did he get such a funny name, Yishbi Noiv? I'm Rav Yudah Marav, Ish, Sheba Al Iski Noiv. He was the man that was selected and appointed to be the one to be Ba, to go and take revenge against David HaMelech for what happened in Noiv Erkahan. Omni Kodesh Baruch Hu David. So now Kodesh Baruch Hu is addressing David HaMelech and he gives him a choice. How long are you going to still have this Aveira still lurking in the wings, still hiding in your hands? Through you, indirectly, Noiver Kahanim was destroyed. And because of you, Doig is sent out forever from Oilam Haba, like we had in our Mishnah, Doig Vadoimi. As a result of this whole campaign with the Gantz Noiv, ultimately, Shaul and Melech passed away with three children. Part of the sin is on your shoulders. And therefore, Ritzoincha, what's your preference? Would you want to have, what they call this in English, a Hobson's choice, whatever that means. But anyway, Yichlu Zarecha, would you prefer that Chas Shalom you'll have no further generations? In other words, that your Zera, not necessarily at this point, but at some time in the future, that'll be the end of Malchus Beis David. Or would you prefer to be handed over to the enemy so that they should go and cause tzaras for you, but you'll have future offspring, future progeny? So like a good father and a good Zayda, I'd rather have all the tzaras myself, even if it means that I will be slain, I'll be killed, but of course I want my children and progeny and offspring to continue forever. Okay, so he made that choice. One day, David HaMelech, Nofak, Mishchar Bazoi. Rashi has two pshat on Mishchar Bazoi. The first pshat is, he went hunting. The second pshat is, Mishchar Bazoi, he went to a place called Bazoi. Anyway, what happened if he went hunting? Also, the sultan came, the Inmi Leil Betavia, Kitavia. So the sultan went and disguised itself like a tzvi, like deer. And that's, of course, why people go hunting, to go and shoot deer and bears and stuff like that. Okay, so now when David HaMelech saw this deer, he said, okay, perfect. Pasik Begira, so he went and shot an arrow, Vilematya, but it didn't reach its target, it fell short.
Was he hunting for sport?
It doesn't say, just says he was hunting. Anyway, Mashche, what happened now was that the deer was Moshechim, meaning the David HaMelech followed the deer, and the reason why he was following the deer, because the deer is really a Satan in deer's disguise, and now he's following this deer, and the deer, of course, is running quickly, and so therefore, David HaMelech presumably went on his royal steed, and he followed it quickly, and Amti until it reached Eretz Plishtim, all the way to Eretz Plishtim, far away. When Yishbi Benoiv saw David HaMelech on his horse riding through town here in the Eretz Plishtim, Omar, he said, "Hainu, hai de kal de Goliath." Oh, that's the one that killed my brother Goliath. Mm-hmm. In other words, Yishbi was the brother of Goliath. Goliath.
Yes.
Goliath was already history by this time.
So he was king already for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And Yishbi was the brother of Goliath, and they were both sons or offspring of Arpa. And now Yishbi, being that mighty individual, he caught him and he tied him up. He tied up David HaMelech. But it wasn't only that he tied him. Kamte, he went and bent him over to David HaMelech. And Oisve, and he put him down, he placed him down. Veshad Yetuse Bei Badje. And he put him into a Beis Abad. And now he had the crushing stone run on top of him in order to crush David HaMelech, Chas V'Shalom, like you go and crush olives in a base of bat. Guess what happened? It's Avad Leinisa, Kodesh Baruch Hu made a nes, Mochle Arami Tusei. The word Mochas, as Rashi, has two interpretations. Others from Lashon of Moch, to be weakened or softened. The soften, the earth that he was sitting on, under this major pressing stone, became weak and soft, and as a result, David HaMelech was able to go and roll with the punches, so to speak. As the stone pushed him down, David HaMelech also began to sink into the ground because it was nice and soft. Another pshat of Rashi, we come out the same thing, is the word macha means a crevice, or like a pothole, arrived under him. As David HaMelech was being pushed down, automatically, miraculously, a pothole, a crevice, was created in the earth. Mitusei underneath him, Haigafim, that's why it says in the Pasuk, Tarchid Tzadi Tachtoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a wide opening underneath my footsteps, meaning underneath my legs, where David HaMelech was sitting. With Moador Kasulai, nothing even happened to my ankles. So bottom line is, he, Yishbi Benoiv, was under the impression that he crushed him to death. However, he didn't, because David HaMelech was able to be now subterranean underneath the stone, underneath the earth. He knew about this, but Lamaisa, Yishbi Benoiv knew that he was alive, but he was not successful in his plot to go and kill David HaMelech. That day that we're talking about in our Gemara, it was Erev Shabbos. Avisha ben Tzruya, Havekochayif Reishe. Avisha ben Tzruya was, number one, a nephew of David HaMelech. He was a brother of Yoiv ben Tzruya, who was the general of by David HaMelech. And he himself was also a very mighty soldier and very, very dedicated to his uncle, to David HaMelech. Havekochayif Reishe, he was Erev Shabbos taking a shower in the Kubit Shabbos, and he was shampooing his hair, Bedalid Garvi Demaya, using four measures of water. And as he was doing it, Chazinu Kasmi Dama, he saw that there were ksamim, that there were drops of blood in the water during his shower, after his shower, and he realized, uh-oh, something here is wrong. Ikriyami, others say that there was a different version of the story, that Asa Yoina, a dove came by, Itrif Kameh, we have dove, of course, in this week's Arsha, by the Mabel, Lefnoyach. Anyway, a dove came by, Itrif Kameh, and it started thrashing back and forth in front of, have a wonderful day, in front of Avishai ben Tzruya. Avishai ben Tzruya comes out, he's still with his towel on, or maybe he's dressed, and he sees that there's a Yoina thrashing about in front of him. What's this Yoina thrashing about? Omer Knesset Yisrael li Yoimim Sila. Knesset Yisrael is Nimshal li Yoina. Shinemer kan fi Yoina Nechba Bekosev. Shema mina, something is wrong. David Malka di Yisrael Bitzar Yisrael. It must be that David HaMelech is Bitzar. Why didn't he assume that Klal Yisrael was Bitzar? Because he heard the morning news that Baruch Hashem, everything was normal. The market's up, Baruch Hashem, and everybody's happy, and no problems. Nothing was going wrong. So, Oy Bazoi, who then must be Bitzar, either because of these drops of blood, or because this Yoin is thrashing? It must be that the head of Klal Yisrael, who symbolizes Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech, must be Bitzar. So he had that feeling. Also, the Beis say he quickly ran to David HaMelech's house to find out what's going on. Maybe we have to call Mendi and Hatzolah to go and help out. And he couldn't find David HaMelech. He realized, uh-oh, something is wrong. Now, he wanted to run after David HaMelech, and somehow he had a premonition that David HaMelech is now in the Eretz Plishtim. Now, to get to the Eretz Plishtim, he needed to go very, very quickly. And apparently his own horse or his own mule was not speedy enough. He wanted to go and borrow from David HaMelech his royal steed to go off to the to Eretz Plishtim. Well, however,
he was at David HaMelech's house looking for him, so that's why he probably wanted to borrow his horse.
Okay. It's Omar. So he said to Nan, in Rech Mal Susai, but I have a Mishnah, we had this before, that you're now let to go and use any of the personal effects of the king, except for the successor king. But otherwise, nobody's allowed to use it. In Rech Mal Susai, now they're going to take his horse. Ben Yeshua Kisa, he can't sit on his throne. Ben Mishtab Shavita, he can't go and use his Sharvit, his royal scepter. However, asks now Avishai Ben Tzruya Bishasa Sakona Mai. What about Bishas Sakana? Obviously, David HaMelech must be Sakana. I don't know what's going on. I want to run after him and find him. Also, showed Ben Midrash, he went to Bismedish, and he asked him, can I use Susai? Bishas Sakana. Amalei Bishas Sakana, Shabbatam. Yep, no problem. You can go and borrow his Sus. He didn't really borrow his Sus, but rather, Rachbe Leparde, he went and took his Peret. His Peret means his mule. Become the Ozal. And he went on to the mule, and he started running. Kovtzele Ara, he had Kfitzis Haderech. And Baritakamazgi Chazliop, as he's traveling to Eretz Plishtim, he passes the home of Arpa, and he sees Arpa. Remember, Arpa was the mother of Goliath, not necessarily the mother, the grandmother, whatever, of Goliath and of Yishbi Benoiv that we had back before. Chazli Arpa, he saw Arpa, Ime, meaning the mother of Yishbi Benoiv, to have his Navla. Navla means that she was spinning thread. Kichazite, when she saw him, she realized, Avisha ben Tzruya is the nephew of David HaMelech. David HaMelech killed my son, Goliath. Yishbi wants to go and kill him. This must be a bad guy, this Avishai. And therefore, Kichazite, when she saw him, Paskasol the Pilcha, she went and took the thread off the Pelech. Pelech is a spindle. Spindle is a machine that you use for purposes of spinning thread. So she took that Pelech, and Shadzei Ilavei, and she threw in his direction, Savlamikli, she wanted to kill Avishai ben Tzruya. Unfortunately, she missed the target. Unfortunately for her, fortunate for him, she missed. And now she played dumb. Omrlein, she said to Avishai, Alam. Alam means young man. Just like Alma means young girl, like we have in the Torah. So Alam, young man. Aisili Pelech, do me a favor. You see, Nebuch, my spindle fell down. Can you do me a favor? Please give it back to me. What did he do? He wasn't so stupid. He realized that she tried to kill him, and so therefore, Paske Beresh Moicha VeKotla. He didn't just hand back the spindle, he threw it at her, and he was successful. It reached her head, and caused some aneurysm, or a concussion, or whatever, VeKotla, and he killed her. So he, Avisha ben Tzruya, now killed Orpa, the mother of Yishbi. When Yishbi Benoit found out about this, what he saw, Omer hashta have betrain bekatanli. Oh, I see two people are running after me to kill me. Now, it's not clear at this point whether Yishbi Noi, when it says Katchazia, what he saw this mice about Orba being killed, because we'll see in another few lines that he may not have known. So Katchazia could be that when he saw Avishai now traveling on the Beret, then he said, uh-oh, there are two people that would want to be my adversaries. Number one, David HaMelech, the one that I'm running after, and now Avishai is running after me. So therefore, Omer Hashta have betrayed the Katan Liam. I'm afraid that these two, Avishai and David, may Chas V'Shalom try to go and kill me, Avishai, Yishbi Benoiv. And therefore, Yishbi Benoiv said, you know what? First, let's get rid of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, I tried to kill him with that major millstone, and it didn't work. So therefore, Paschal the David the Eilat. Yishbi was so strong, he took David HaMelech, and he threw him up in the air. And of course, anything that you throw up, everybody knows by the forces of gravity, is going to fall down. Before David HaMelech came down, he took his spear, put it into the ground with the spearhead up, so that Chas V'Shalom, when David HaMelech would fall down, Omar, he said, he's going to fall down onto the spear. And I will not spear his life, because I will never spear his life. And therefore, that's what Yishbi did. Avishai came quickly on the scene, and he saw what was going on. Avishai was no small potatoes. Omer Avishai Shem, he said Hashem HaKodesh, and Ukmei LeDavid Ben Shmali Ara, and he was able to freeze David HaMelech, so that he should be suspended in mid-air, so he should not fall down on the spear. Sitaka spared his life. Thank you, Mara. If Avishai, who happens to be the nephew of David HaMelech, was able to go and say Hashem, and be able to go and cause David HaMelech to be suspended in mid-air, why couldn't the uncle, David HaMelech himself, namely Eel, let himself go and say such Hashem and save himself? What did he need Avishai for? And furthermore, in Chovish Moitzias B'Beis Yisurim, that's a famous rule, that a prisoner cannot go and let himself out of jail. You have to have somebody else on the other side letting him out of jail. Once you're inside jail, you can't get out on your own. So that's, of course, an expression. But the expression over here applies to David HaMelech, that he himself couldn't save himself with Hashem, but somebody else, Avisha, was able to go and save him. Anyway, Yishbi Benoiv now is standing on the side somewhere, and now Avisha is having a private discussion with David HaMelech, and Omalei, my boy, hey, Feta, uncle, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at home where you're supposed to be? I know why I'm here. I'm not here because I was running and hunting after that tzvi, and then I was dragged into Eretz Plishtim. This whole thing is all because Kadosh Baruch Hu asked me at the beginning of the wide lines, end of the previous narrow lines, what would I prefer? He must be at Oyev, or Layoch Lazari, and I said I would prefer being Nimsar Biyad Oyev. I made that Hobson's choice that I'm going to go and be given over to the enemy, and that's why I'm given over here to Yishbi Benoiv. Omalei, so his nephew Avishai said to his uncle David HaMelech, Apich Tzloisech, you should have gone and requested, or you should have responded in reverse. And therefore you should be mispalel now, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu should go and accept your reversed answer. And you should say, I rather yechle zari, the Chas V'Shalom, I lose my offspring, but they must, that I should not be nimsar biyad oyev. Let me take care of the immediate problem, that I should not be harmed by Yishai Benoiv, Yishbi Benoiv, free me from this. About my zari, let them worry about it. Like the Gemara now quotes an expression, Bar Berech, Kiro Lisbon, Fa'at Loitz Titztayim. Meaning there are a lot of people that even they're already 85 years old and they still go to work every day, and people ask them, come on, don't you have enough money to support yourself after all these years? You still have to go to work. He says, of course I have enough money. The only reason why I'm doing this is because I want there should be money for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. So people say to him, Mr. Let your great-grandchildren, they'll worry about making Parnassah. The Lashon of the Gemara is Bar Baruch, your grandson, Kiro Lisbon. If necessary, let him go and sell wax. Apparently this was something that peddlers would go and sell if they were desperate, if they lost their jobs as computer scientists or whatever. So they would go and peddle wax from place to place and make money that way. But I'm going to start, it's not your headache, it's not your problem. You got to do what you need for yourself and for your immediate household. Future generations, somehow or other they'll figure out what to do and how to do. So therefore, you two, first take care of the immediate problem, reverse the prayer to Kodesh Baruch Hu and say, I prefer not being Nimsar Biyad Oyev. What's going to happen with future offspring, we'll worry about it then, and the Gemara will address this further on the Amud Beis. Anyway, Amalei said David HaMelech now to Avishai, Ihochi, if you really think that that's the way to do it, Saiba Hadon, do me a favor, help me out in my tefillah. I'm talking going to be in the Sfat to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he should accept my new reversed answer, but help me out. And Haim Nassim, that's what Ataka said. Le'yazavle Avisha ben Tzruya, how do you help him out of Yudah Marav? She'ozu b'tfilah. They said to him together. It wasn't just David HaMelech, Avishai together with him. They said Shir HaMalos. They said a tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu, accept our new answer. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu accepted the tefillah. Okay, so now David HaMelech is still there hovering in mid-air. When is he ever going to come down? So Amar Avisha Shem, so he said now a new Shem, or maybe the same Shem as before, the Achzei, and he lowered him down from being, of course in the meantime they had removed the spear from that place, so there shouldn't be a problem. Anyway, have a Karod and Basrai. So now the two, David HaMelech and Avishai, now are making a plata, because they're both afraid of Yishbi the Noiv. Kimata Kubi, when they came to a place called Kubi, Amri Kum Bey. Kum Bey is like Rosh Hashanah. Kubi is Kum Bey. Kum Bey means, let's make a short stop over here, and let's go and take a break. But apparently that break didn't last very long, because after that they fled further. Kimata Beitre. They came to a place called Beitre. Amri. So they said to themselves, or said to each other, Betray Gurion. Gurion is from a Russian, Gur Arye Yehuda. Gur means like a small cub, a lion cub. These two small lion cubs, Katlu L'Arye, do we think we're going to be able to go and defeat Yishbi? Yishbi is like Goliath, or perhaps even stronger than Goliath. He's a who? How are we going to go and kill this great Ari, this great lion? Amrile. So then the Avishai came up with a brilliant idea, and they said to him, Lay to Yishbi Benoid, Zil Ishtakach Li'orpa Imech, you want to find your mother Arpa? The Kivra, she's buried. Meaning that I killed her yesterday or whenever this took place. Maybe in the morning. Anyway, when they told Yishbi about the premature death of his dear mother Arpa, Shema the Imech, he was demoralized. As a result, they were able to go and kill him. And that was the end of Yishbi ben Oif. So therefore, Orpah was killed, and Yishbi ben Oif were killed, but Avisha ben Tzruya and David HaMelech were saved. Hain v'chsiv, and that's why it says subsequently, Oz Nishban Shei David Loi Leimar, the people, the officers, the soldiers of David HaMelech said to David HaMelech, Loi Teitzi Oid Itanel Milchama, David HaMelech, your war days are now at an end. We don't want you to go and leave the Koisle Besmedish or leave the palace. You should go and learn Torah, Ki Torah Ar. You should learn Torah for the rest of your life. Go back to Koil, go back and learn. We're going to go and take care of the enemies. We're going to go and fight the battles in the future. With that, we finish this shtickle, but we're going to come back to Sancheiriv and shortly on the Amud Beis. But since we mentioned that Avishai had this Kfitzas HaDerech, he was able to quickly run from Eretz Yisrael to the Eretz Plishtim, it's Tanur Abundance, Jaitan the Bright, Shloisha Kopsalem Oretz. We find three that had that Schia of Kvitzes Oretz. Eliezer Eved Avraham, Yaakov Avinu, Avisha Ben Tzruya. Avisha Ben Tzruya Ademar, we just learned in Nagimar. Eliezer Eved Avraham, it says in the Pasuk, Ba'ovai Yoim Eli Oyin, I came today to the Ayin. What do you mean, came today? Lememer do not, Ba'yu Yoim Manofak. He meant to say, I left this morning and I arrived still today. How could you have rhymed so quickly? It's such a Vazatir. The Gemara is quoting from the Rashi in Chumash. This is by Eliezer, by Yaakov Avinu Dechsev. This is a very famous Rashi in Chumash. Dechsev Yitzi Yaakov Eshav Yelech Harana. Ukhsev Yiv Gam Amokav Yelon Shem Gimah Hashem Eshav Yikach Viavni Amokai. Ki Mata Lecharan, and then he came to Harana. Shai Tuchtov Yitzi Yaakov Eshav Yelech Harana. He came to Harana. Omar, he said, Oy, 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 Ef Shavarti Amokav Shizbal Luboy Avoysai. I passed by Yerushalayim, the base of Migdish, Vani Lois Vahalti Boy, and I didn't go and daven over there. Oy, oy, oy. I gotta go and get a ticket to return. Boy, Lemeder, you wanted to return back to Yerushalayim. Kim dehir bedat Lemeder. As soon as he made that decision, I'm going back. Kav tzliyara. Hakadosh Baruch Hu made another kvitzas haderech, And he instantaneously got from Choron back to Yerushalayim. Miad, how do I know? It's Yitka Mokan. I'm sorry? Basik says Beisel, and Rashi has a two different shot. Which Beisel? Yeah. Okay, anyway, Ayin Shah.
Based on these Gemaras or based on the Gemara comes
to this whole Gemara is based on the Rashi. The Rashi and
Chemish. The Gemara
comes to you.
The Medrash comes first, the Gemara.
Anyway, the Gemara and the Medrash came before Rashi, and Barashi quotes it in Chemish. Yeah, this is the Rashi, the Medrash and the Gemara is the same. Anyway, comes to the Aram, Miyad, Yivka, Bamokim, that in fact, oh! I'm now in Beisel, I'm now back to Yerushalayim, and now back to Beis Hamikdash, etc. Mishkan, all those wonderful places, and he was mispar. Tovarach, another pshat is Ein Pigi El Tefillah. The word Vayivka doesn't really mean that he had the Kvitz Terech, it means Tefillah. Shenema Vyat Al Tespal, Vyat Om Ezeb, Val Tisab Adam, Rinu Tefillah, Val Tifkavi. Oh, so we see the word Pigia means Tefillah, and therefore also Vayivka Baloka means he was mispar. Okay. So now we learned about the three kvitz nederach. Now the Gemara says v'yolun shem kivu hashemesh, that afterwards he lay down, he went to sleep. Kivu hashemesh, when the sun set, bosa detzali, after he rested, boil him a heder, after he it was mispal, probably from Sloisa, after he was spal, boil him a heder, he wanted to go back. Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu said, tzadik zeh ba'ol beis maloni, he comes to my inn, he comes to my place, my abode. Then I should let him go without resting. Miad ba shemesh, and therefore the shemesh taka set, and that's where the pasuk says for yomin shem ki ba shemesh pinked at that moment because the Kadosh Baruch Hu made him go and he wanted to sleep there, and therefore he. And the Gemara brings another raiv. I understand that's why it says the next morning by yizrach lo ya shemesh that the sun rose for him. When the sun rises, it doesn't just rise for one person; it rises for everybody. The sun which had set on behalf of Yaakov Avinu, so he should be the Yolin Chum to be able to sleep there, that same sun now rose on his behalf to be able to get up and to move on. Good, excellent. So you're saying that that was the same thing. Can I give me the very good. Good. Anyway, the Gemara continues now. So we finish now with, we got off on a tangent about the three kvitz derech, and now we go back to the original choice that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to David HaMelech. Do you rather want to be in trouble with your enemies, or do you want to be clear zaroi? Originally he said, I want my zaroi to continue, and I don't mind about the enemies, and then Avishai convinced him to go and reverse himself, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu accepted the tefillah. So now we're talking about the Zari of David HaMelech. Thank you, we know the Kala Zari of David. How do we know that the progeny, the offspring of David HaMelech was Kala, finished, no more? The Chassidus in the Pasuk, Vasalia, Eim Achaz Yohu, Roasa Kimeis Beno, Vatokav Tayvad Es Kol Zera HaMamlocha. Asalia was a very, very wicked lady. She was the mother of Achaz Yohu. Achaz Yohu had been the Melech. Achaz Yohu passed away, and now she is the remaining successor to her son. And the only others that were there were young kids. There were no adults left in the base, David. And what did she do? She saw that her son died, but talking about David's clothes, she went and killed out everybody who was left. Since she killed out everybody, so that was the kiyum that we had on the Amid Aleph, that he chose that the Yichol Zareh, the whole Zerah should be destroyed. You're telling me everybody? There was one that was left over, Yoyosh. And now, Barry, what's the answer to your question? Exactly. Everybody, all the Zerah based on it, all comes through Yosh. Zok Yomara, we see that it wasn't totally destroyed. And that was the choice that he was given, that your Zerah would be destroyed. So, Tumah Hasanami Yishtaya Ev Yosar. The whole reason why Nebuch David HaMelech had this choice was because of the sin of Noiver Kehanim. In Noiver Kehanim, there was also one person left. Who was that one person? Ev Yosar. It says, by Noiv. Achimelech, who was the one that provided the food to David HaMelech. Achimelech had one son. And that son made a plate. He ran away. His name was Eviyasa. Just like all the rest of Noiv Kahanim were never destroyed, similarly, all of David HaMelech's progeny was destroyed. But just like by Achimelech, there was one son that made a plate. Here too, Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed that Yoyosh should make a plate, that he should be survived from this massacre of Asalia, the mother of Achaz Yohu. So, Gemara, So Rabbi Yehuda is really repeating what we just said. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Rav, Il Mole Nishtai of Yoslach Melech Ben Achituk. Had it not been that Eviyosar's life was spared and he did not die in the massacre of Noivir Kahanim, when Nishtai Mazar Shal David, Saru Rapolet, then there would be nobody left from David HaMelech. The only reason why you have David HaMelech left, Yoyosh, and future generations is all because there was left Eviyosar Baruch Hashem. Now we go back to Sanhedrin. Remember we said that that night the Malach killed 185,000 troops of Sancheiv. And the Imar now brings the Cheshbon. Amr Rav Yehuda, Amr Rav, Bo Aleim Sancheiv Arosha. Sancheiv brought with him a huge military force. How many did he bring? Ba'arboim. Ba'arboim Ba'chamisha Elef Ish, 45,000 B'nei Malachim. All princes, the sons of kings. Yoish v'kroy nishozov, all riding, not just in plain wagons. These were Mercedes wagons made out of gold. Mercedes not so special anymore, right? I'm dating myself. Today is probably some fancier thing, right? I know Lexus is no longer special, right? There's something more chushiv than all that I was a fish. Anyway, the Moen, and they brought along with them Shigloinois. What means Shigloinois? Rashi says Shigloinois means Malkois. These Bnei Malachim brought along their wives. And they brought along also Vizoinois. You're trying to find them? And they brought along the Zionists as well, as we'll see here shortly.
95B2.
His Hebrew name. Okay, so he brought along all to the Zionists. Now, why did they bring along Zionists? So they brought along Zionists. Rashi brings in Chumash that one of the ways that the enemies tried to defeat Klal Yisrael was they figured they would go and entice the Jewish soldiers, the Jewish men, to go and live with the Zionists. And as a result, number one, they would be preoccupied and they wouldn't fight. And number two, they would be weakened by the Maisabia. And therefore, they would be in a weakened condition and it would be easier to go and fight them. Besides, of course, that we know that the Elkeim Shel Yisrael hates Zima, and he's going to see that Klal Yisrael is engaged in Znus. What's going to happen? Then he's not going to favor them, Chas V'Sholem, in the battle. So they used to bring along Zionists. So we had over here so far 45,000 B'nai Malachim, together with their wives, and together with a whole bunch of Zionists. In addition to that, there were 80,000 Levushei Shiryon Klipa, wearing coats of armor. That's, how much is 80 together with 45? Approximately 125,000. Everybody agree? And Ubishishim Elef Achuzei Cherev, and another 60,000 warriors that were carrying their swords. Rotzim Lefanav going and running in front of them. So how much is 60 together with 125? It comes out to 185,000. But we're not finished yet. Fashar Barashim, and all those that drove on the chariots.
Cavalry.
The cavalry. Oh, that's over and above the 185,000. Okay. And we shouldn't think that this is only one time in history by Sancheirib. V'chein bo al Avram. By Avram, when he was fighting against the four kings and the five kings, the famous story, Kodaloyme, the four and the five, also they were fighting with Avram Avinu, 185,000. And additional parashim, and we'll see how much that adds up to in a moment. Eventually, when they're going to be the Mechem is Goyg Umagoyg, unfortunately, it's also going to involve many, 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 many people. We're going to see not just 185,000, much more than that. Umasi Satana in the Bryson now it explicates and explains this even further, and it says, Oyrech Machneil, the length of his machne of Sancheirev was Arba Meyois Parsi long, 400 Parsois. The Gemara elsewhere says that the whole Eretz Yisrael is Arba Meyois Parsi and Arba Meyois Parsi. But let's try to figure out how much Arba Meyois Parsoi is. We have the benefit of Simcha being here, who is always excellent in helping us out in all of our arithmetical and mathematical calculations. We know that a parsa equals 4 mil. Right? Everybody agrees? 4 mil. And a mil is how many amis? A mil is 2,000 amis. Island. Yeah, island. But not everybody over here knows what island means. Island. Okay, so 2,000 amis. So since a parsa is 4 mil and a mil is 2,000 amis, so therefore a parsa is probably 8,000 amis. Right? Everybody agrees? 8,000 amis. Okay. Let's assume that an amma is the Shir Chazonish, which means that it's 2 feet. 8,000 times 2 gets you to 16,000 feet. How many miles are there in 16,000 feet? Each mile is 5,280, so it's a little bit more than 3 miles. Everybody agrees? One parsa is 3 miles. Okay. And you're talking about 400 parsois. 400. 400 times 3 comes out to roughly 1,200. Okay, so you don't want to chazonish a share. 1,000 miles. His machna was 1,000 miles. Can you imagine? From here to Liberty, how many miles is that? 100 miles, right? 10 times the amount from here. Can you imagine how much traffic there would be?
Just Chicago's 900 miles away.
How much? 1,000 miles?
900 miles.
900 from here to Chicago. That's how big his machna was. Okay, 400 at times could be a shtickel guzman, but you're talking about huge amounts, huge distances. Okay, and the Gemara continues on. Rach of tzavre susa, the width of the necks of his susim. Line up all of the horses one next to each other. The length of that was, or the breadth of that was, with Arboim Parsi. Not 400, but 40 Parsois. 40 Parsois is 10. Okay, it's 1/10 of 1,000. 100 miles long. From here all the way to Liberty, New York, to Lakshelbeck, you have 1,000 horses from here to there. Can you imagine? The Soch Machneo. How many people do you have in this Machne? Now, these are real big numbers, if I say. Masayim Veshishim, 260. Times Reboy. Reboy is 10,000. Take 260 and add 10,000 to that. You get 2,600,000.
2 billion.
1 second, Rabbi Yisai, please, one at a time. I cannot go so quickly in my math. Reb Simcha is here, Kanainahara, he does it very quickly. But let's go slightly. You have 260. You add to that now 4 zeros, right? 10,000. So there becomes 2,600, and then, right, because we started off with 1 0. 260 has 1 0. We're adding 4 zeros, 10,000. So now you have 2,600, you have 2 zeros, and another 3 zeros at the end, 2,600,000. But we're not finished yet. You have to multiply that by alafim, at least by 1 elef. If you multiply 2.6 million by 1,000, you get to 2.6 billion with a B. However, Chaser Chat, it was not 2.6 billion, it was 2,599,999. It was missing one. But not so simple. One? Boy, Abai said one was missing. One means one. Chaser Chat Ribuya, does it mean one times 10,000 was missing? Or Chaser Chat Alpha, it was missing 1,000. Or Chaser Meyam, maybe 100. Or Chaser Chat, only one. Zeku, we're going to have to wait for Leo Novi to be pushed to Shala, we don't know.
So there's a Rai, you know what?
Anovi's
going to come before me and ask Gugamogun.
It's going to have to know how many people were there at the Muhammad. Okay, good. Zulushin Kimin, and we'll enter Alakashas. Okay, so now the Gemara is telling us how many people now were going from one place to the other place. Tana, they went in three groups. Rishonim, the first group of the military of Sancheiriv that went, Avru the Sechi, that means they had to go and cross the water. There was some major river that they had to go through. And Rashi says the Sechi is from Lashon Schia, which means that they swam across from one end to the other. That was the first group. Shenemar, Chalef Yehuda shot up the Avar. They had to go through these major waters, and they swam across. And by the time they swam across, their clothing and the horses and all the cavalry and everything else had absorbed so much water that now the waters were now receded. They were no longer as high. And therefore, I'm sorry, in the next stage, the next group of Rubakaima, they were able to, they didn't have to swim across, they were able to walk across Shinema, because the pasuk continues on, at Sabra Yigir, that the water only came to their necks. So they didn't have to swim. They could just walk across. But by the time they walked across and they absorbed all the water and they took it together with them, Achroinim, the third group of cavalry and of military, there was no water left. The first two groups had consumed all of the water by their clothing, by their people. They took all the water with them. And by the time the third group came, they were walking on dry land. And there wasn't even a drop to drink. Fling Motsu might have been on this. They didn't even find a drop in the water in the Nar to go and drink. And this was the beginnings of the Polish spring water that they bring from Maine. They had the water bottles were brought. The Shasan, they were able to go and drink from that water. Shinemar. And the Karti, the Shasisi mine. The word Karti, says Rashi, means to dig. I dug out wells. Shasisi mine. Therefore, I was able to supply water to the military, to Sancheiriv, because there was no water left in the Yam, in the mighty rivers that we had. Frank the Gemara, you're telling me that there were 2.6 billion people, minus 100 or 1,000 or 1, etc. Hi, V'yitzmal Hashem, V'yakim HaMachna Asher, Me'yushmoyin HaMachanisha Elef. It wasn't Kula Begar Mason. If you go and take 2.6 billion and you subtract 185,000, you're still left with a couple of billion people. So what's going on? Kula Begar Mason. Amr Bavo, Halolu Rashi Geis is saying, the Malach killed 2.6 billion people that night, except for 5 or 10 or whatever, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. Zot Yomara, the Pasuk says he only killed 185,000. He killed out the 185,000 generals and captains. In addition to that, the regular military, the regular lieutenants and the regular military men was in the billions. All of them were killed out that night, except for a handful. Amar Vashi Dekanami, I'll bring you right. That's it. This is the pasuk that we quoted yesterday. The Mishman of Rozoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to throw into their heavy, corpulent ones, he's going to throw in leanness. So you might remember yesterday said the Mishman is referring to Shmoina, that Cheskia Melech had 8 names and Sancheirav had 8 names. Peliyoyetz, Kelgibar, Aviyad, Sar Sholem, and Sancheirav had his 8 names. Pelesser, Shalmaneser, etc. that we had. Anyway, however, the Gemara over here is darshaning poshep shat. Mishmanav means the fat ones. The shmeinim de ispahu. Who were the fat ones? Burich Adoni Amvarech Amvarech. The fat ones they were referring to means the people that had the power and they had the weight. They carried the weight in the military, and these are the big generals. So these are the 185,000 that were killed. But in addition to them, all of the regular military guys were also killed. We only mentioned the 185,000 because these were the top brass, the top military. Amr Vida Dekanami, bring it right. Chsib, Vishlach Hashem Maloch. Vayichachir, Kol Gibor Chayil, the Nogin, the Sar, the Machne. He went and killed out the Gibor Chayil, the Nogin, and the Sar. What about the plain guys? Because the 185,000 that we were listing, these are the Gibor Chayil, these are the generals, these are the captains, these are the five-star generals, the Sar and the ministers, they're the real Groyser Knackers in the military. So we see from these tukim that the one that was killed, the 185,000, we're not talking about everybody, we're talking about just the top brass, but in addition to that, everybody else was killed as well. When the malach that killed them, how did he kill them? With his hand. Even though, of course, this is in the Shira, in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, but nevertheless, since it says in the future, Vayar Yisrael, they saw, not Ro'u, but Vayar, they saw at that time the Yad that's eventually going to go and punish the whole Machnas and Chayrib, and therefore the Malach used his Yad. Give him a hand, Rabbi says. If Shuaim and Beatzma, he come, he went and killed him with a finger, with his pinky. Shinem, it says in the passage, Vayim Echatum Upari, Etzba Lehim, he, Etzba, Shasidu Lipar Mesam Chayim. Why did he say Etzba Lekim, he? Etzba Lekim, what's the Etzba Lekim? He, that's the same one that's now, and that's the same one in the future. Hoy, hoy, the year, that's going to be Vav Yossi, hey, that's going to be the Etzba that's going to go and destroy some Chayim's army. And bless the Nishab Yosef, Lili Oymer, Omle Kishbokh Le Gavriel. Which Malach was the one that caused all of this damage, destruction? It was Gavriel. Yeah. How do I know? Zokti Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Gavriel, Magolcha Netusha, is your sickle, is it sharpened? Because I'm going to need you now to go and slaughter this Gantz Machna Ashur. Is Magolcha is a Lashon Bitmiya. Magolcha is your sickle, Netusha, is it sharpened? Maybe you forgot, but it's not. I don't have to sharpen it today. It's been waiting since Sheish Mei Breishis. Nema, Nei Chorvois Nodadu. With the full Russian and Pasi, Nei Chorvois Nodadu, Nei Cherub Netusha. Ah, Nei Cherub Netusha. So the Begoyim is Cherub Netusha. That already from that time on, from the Sheish Mei Breishis, the Cherub was already, Netusha was already sharpened, ready for this battle. This was the zman of the ripening of the fruit. Rashi says that one of Gabriel's many jobs was he was mamuna al bishul peiros. He was in charge of the ripening of the fruit every ripening season. So he told Gabriel, when you're going out to bishul peiros, he's zakek lehem. You know what? As a secondary matter, can I on the side kilachar yad? Go and kill out the machne of Asher. Shneimer, like it says in the pasuk, Midei Avru Yikach Eschem Ki Baboike Baboike Yaver BeYoyim BeLayla VeYirak Zvo Haven Shmur. So what does this pasuk tell you? Midei Avru, as you're passing through Yikach Eschem. You know, I know your major task is going to be to ripen the fruits, but once you're going through, come on, go and kill a couple of people on route, kill out the Machna Asher. Amar Rabbah said, Rabbah, Hainu de Amar Inchi. That's why there's an expression. Agav Orchech, Baal Devavech, Ishtama. If you are traveling and you happen to go and notice, and you're passing through, that you find there your enemy, Baal Devavech is your enemy. We have that in Gittin by Kamta Bar Kamta, that his friend was Kamta, and Baal Devavech was Bar Kamta. When you're passing by your enemy, Ishtama, make yourself heard. Why? Says Rashi, to intimidate your enemy. By going and making yourself heard, as if you're saying, hey, mister, I see you, I'm not afraid of you. I'm here. See what you can do. So you try to intimidate your enemy, and that's the expression. So here too, en route, make some noise whilst you're going to Bishul Peiros. What's your noise? You're going to go and kill out the Machna. The Eish Oymen, some say it wasn't with his hand, but with his finger, that the Choytman Nofshe Fehem. He blew into their nostrils, from Esau, and they died. Shnemetz and the buzz began Nofshe Fehem, by Yvashe. He blew, and they all Oskeflik, and they all dried out. Rabbi Yehuda bar Abba Omar, Kapayim Sipik Lehem. He went and clapped his hands, and with that, Vemeisra, and they died. Shnema Vegamani, Ake Kapi El Kapi, Vani Choisi Chamosi. I'm going to go and clap one hand against the other, and as a result, the Chema will go and cool off. It says, we didn't have a Rashi in the previous week, the Gabbe Tuval Kayim. That Lemach went and killed him by Sipik Yodai Al Yodai, he went and clapped, and never he killed him. Anyway, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Omar, Oznayim Gilehem, Vishomu Shira Pichayis Vamesim. Anybody that's ever been to one of the chasnas nowadays can have an appreciation for this. That what did he do? He opened up the ears, in other words, he took out all the earplugs, especially from the musicians and from the singers, he took out all the earplugs. And then they had this tremendous noise that masquerades today as music. And they heard this huge music from the Chayis HaKodesh. Boy, that was strong noise. Vamesu, and they died as a result of probably the fright or the eardrums going and banging. But anyway, they died from that Shir Mepi Chayis. Shenema, Meramuscha, Noftsu Goyim. From the heights, Noftsu Goyim, the Goyim got scattered all over, and that's how all of these guys got scattered from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba in an instant that night by some chayim. How many were left from this huge machne? We just said now it wasn't just 185,000, but in fact that everybody was killed. 185,000 were just the generals, but all the cavalry and the military and
billions.
Sorry, but how many were left after everything is said and done? That we said before, chaser chad means that initially of all the generals, they were chaser chad, missing. And of all the 2.6 billion people, there was only 2.599999, and then minus 100 or 1,000 or what. But now we're talking about at the end, how many are left? Is the machloik. Rav Omer Asar, there were 10 left. Shinemetz in the Pasik, Ashar Eit Yaroi, Mispar Yiyu, there's a number, Vanar Yichtevein. And that number, even a child will be able to go and write. So what number can a child write? Kamenar Yochel Lichtevein, Asara. How does a child able to go and write 10? Says Rashi, because what is 10 in Hebrew? Yud. The smallest letter in the alphabet, of course, is the Yud. So even a child can write a Yud. Child may not be able to go and write a beautiful Aleph or a Beis or a Gimel, but a Yud is just basically, Rashi says, just a drop of ink. So even if the child is just playing with ink and he pours a drop onto the paper, Chatuch Shana Yud. So therefore, that's the amount of people, the number of people that were left over. There were 9 people. Shemitz in the bottom initial boy. Oylois kinoikiv zayis shnayim ushloisha shnayim shloisha gagar v'roish amir arba chamisha b'sira. Pasuk is saying how many unripened grapes were remaining. Kinoikiv zayis, like a person that is cutting the zaysim and he's cutting 2 or 3 gargar, small little olives v'roish amir from the top arba chamisha b'sira, or 4 or 5 from the branches. Anyway, how does he come up now with the number 9, says Rashi? He adds together the Arba, Chamisha, B'sifel, the 4 and the 5. He ignores the 2 and 3 at the beginning of the Pasuk. He focuses on the 4 and 5. 4 and 5 together is 9. Oh! Nisher, boy, how many were left over the guns of Sancheirif? Just 9 military men. B'shulim Levi Amar, Arba Aser, 14 more. Shinema, I'm going to add up now all the numbers in that Pasuk. The Shnaim and Shloisha, the 2 and the 3 together adds up to roughly 5. And then we add up Arba v'chamisha, which is another 9. 5 plus 9 adds up to 14 altogether. And that's what you might say. Shnei Mishnayim Shloisha, Arba v'chamisha, you got 14. 14, of course, is also Dai, Shengeruk. 14 is enough. Dai is Yud Dalid, also. Now we have a Yad, give him a hand, 14 are left. Rav Yochanan Omar, Chamisha, there were five left over. Who were the five? Sancheiriv, Ushnei Bonav. Sancheiriv, who was the leader, the king, the czar, whatever, he was left. Ushnei Bonav together with his two sons, and the Nebuchadnezzar and the Vuza Radha. So that's five altogether, right? Chayiv, two sons is three, Nebuchadnezzar is four, Nebuchadnezzar is five. Nebuchadnezzar, we don't really have a raya from anywhere. It's Gemara. We have the Kabbalah, Nebuchadnezzar was there, and he was saved, he wasn't killed. Nebuchadnezzar, how do I know? The Rave, the Raviyah, Dami Labar Elohim. What is this all about? We had this pasuk already yesterday, the day before, that when Nebuchadnezzar was looking into the furnace into which had been thrown Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria, he said, I saw four people walking around, right? Back on top of Tzadik Gimel Omer Aleph, and the Gemara brought a raya that Gedoyim Tzadikim Yoisim Malachi Hashareis. You're talking about afterwards that they threw in the false Navi, and they said, now you should be saved. He said, but I don't have three, I've only got one or two. So he said, okay, throw anybody else you want. And he asked for Yeshua, the Kohen Gadol, to be thrown in with him. But here in the top of the Gemara is talking about that Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria were thrown into the furnace, and there was a fourth person there. And then Nebuchadnezzar said on his own, I saw the three people, and then I saw the fourth. The Ravi, the appearance, the face of the reveal, the fourth one was Domi Lebar Elohim, looked like a Malach. Now the question is, how many of us ever saw Malach? I see Baruch Hashem every day. All of those that come here to the Daf, they're all Malachim. They all have angelic appearances. But when's the last time you saw a real Malach? So Timora, since the Nebuchadnezzar recognized he was a Malach, the Lab de Chazir, if you had never seen a Malach before, Minohav Yonah, how did he know? Muzdach Zayin, that the Nebuchadnezzar was there that night, and he saw Malach Gavriel killing out the millions and billions, and he was left over, and he had seen him. Sanchev Shneibonav, the Chazivitz of the Pasuk, Vayihu, subsequent to that story, Vayihu, who meaning Sancheiriv, Mishtach based Nasroich Eliyahu, he went into the church, into the place of the Avodah Zarah of Nasroich, Vadar Melech, the Sharetzer Bonav, and the two sons of Sancheiriv, Adar Melech and Sharetzer, they were there, Hiku Becharav, and they went, and they killed him. Ah, so we see that they survived from that original disaster. So those three, Nebuzaradah, Nebuchadnezzar, those five altogether. Amr Babo, Yamali Nikr Kosif, it wasn't for the Pasik, he actually Amre. Which Pasik we're referring to? The Pasik that we're going to address now. Tikhsit says in the Pasik, Piyemahu Yigalach Hashem, Bisar Haschira, the Ivre Nohar, the Melech Asher, Esaroish, the Seir Haragloyim, the Gam Esazokon, Tisfer, Tisafet. What is this Pasik referring to? This is referring to that after the Maisa of Sancheiriv's defeat and all the killing out of all the military men, what happened? Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him that I'm going to be Megaleach, I'm going to go and give a shave or a haircut to, with a Sar Aschira, with a rented Sar. Sar is a razor. Who am I going to do to Sancheiriv? I'm going to remove the Roish, that is, in other words, the hair on the head, a haircut, Sar HaGloyim, and also hair down below, and also his beard, Tispa, will also be consumed or destroyed. Aha. Otsu Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vidami Leiki Gavra Sabah. Kodesh Baruch Hu went and camouflaged himself to Sancheiriv, that he should look like an altaman, like an old person. Omalei, so now he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the guise of an old man, asked Sancheiriv, Ki Azaz the Gabi Malki Mizrachu Ma'arav. When you go now and have your meetings with the kings of the east and the west, Taisisinu Libanayu, that you convince them to send their sons, 45,000 B'nai Malachim were in that battle like we enumerated there in the Gemara in the beginning, the 45,000. So when you're going to go to their fathers and you're going to tell them the Katlasinu that they all were killed, my Amrislehu, what's going to be your answer? In other words, they're going to say, hey, Sancheiriv, what did you do to our kids? We thought it was a sure bet that you all come back victorious. What happened to all of our kids? It's Amrlehu. So now Sancheiriv responded to Hashem, Ahu Gavra. He's talking about himself in the third person. Bahu Pachta Nami Yosef. I have been terrified about what I'm going to respond to that answer, to that question, because I'm afraid they may kill me and they say, Sancheiriv, what did you do? And therefore I have been trembling ever since that episode. What am I going to say to the Malchi Mizrachmai? See, Yosef Amalei, Heichi, Baupachta Nami Yosef. I've been sitting, dwelling in that Pachad ever since. Amalei, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Heichi Navid, or Sorry. Some Chayiv said to Hashem, what should we do to get over this hump? I mean, after all, Hashem was the one that introduced this subject. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you have an Eitzah? He says, I'm like, yeah, I have an Eitzah. Zil v'shani nafshach. You should go and change your appearance so that they shouldn't recognize you. But my Ishni, how should I go and change? Said to Sancheirim, so Isili Mispara, go and bring a Misparayim, bring scissors, Vigazioch, and I'm going to go and give you a haircut and a shape. Ano Vigazioch Ano, and I'm going to go and give you. Feitimor Mehechi, I see, so Sancheirim said, where am I going to bring one? I don't carry around scissors all the time. I carry around knives and bombs, but I don't have in my hand any scissors. What should I do? Amalei said, Allahu Basi, see that house over there? Go inside. Vaisi, and bring one. Ozel, he went in. Ashkechinu, he went and he saw the dwellers in that resident. So Malachim came now and they made an appearance like they were regular people. And they were middle of grinding kashiyasa. How does he teach kashiyasa? Karine tmarim. He's like the pits, the residue, whatever, of the dates. So Sancheiriv asked them, Havli Misparah, can you please lend me a Misparayim, a scissors? Amrulay, so they said to him, Techoin Chad Griva Tekashiyasa, if you will assist us in grinding one of these date pits, then Itulukhan will give you. Tochen Chad Griva Taka went and ground, Tekashiyasa, the Avalay, and they gave him his part. Why did we have to go through this, that he should go and crush one of the dates, one of the date pits? Because the Pasuk said that it had to be Sar Haschir. Sar Haschir means that you rented it. If you're renting something, you have to go and pay a lease payment, a rental payment. The rental payment was that he provided services to help out in crushing that with a millstone, presumably one of those date pits. And also, by the time Sancheiriv was finished, and he comes back to Kodesh Baruch Ichshech, it was already dark. On Malay, how are you going to go and take a haircut now? It's dark. You have to be able to look in the mirror, and from both sides. You can have that small mirror in the back when he's going to show you how he took him to shave in the back. So, how? On Malay, go and bring a candle, bring a light, and we'll be able to go and have a haircut in the night. It'll be romantic. We're going to have a light shining. Brought such a candle. As he was blowing it, in other words, to make a fire, isli beinura bedikne. Then the fire went and was attracted to and it grabbed hold of his zokan, of his beard, and ozel gazil reishay bedikne. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu had the light, and he went and gave him a haircut and a shave. Omru, that's why it says in the pasuk. That's why it says in the pasuk. What does the zokan tispe? What does the Gemara mean? He said in the beginning of the pasuk, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I'm going to be megaleach yigalach Hashem b'sar aschira. I'm going to go and give a haircut and a shave to the roish and the seir haragloim. The gamas azokon tispe, and the zokon will also be consumed because I didn't give the giloch to the zokon. The zokon was consumed as a result of the fire. We'll stop over here, Mitchum, and continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.